All right, welcome in, everybody. It is time for Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank. I got Fat Tony here with me. Fat Tony, is it fair to call you the third best quarterback in Jaguar team history?
Whoa.
You're not that far off.
Not that far
the
off.
The bar's not that high.
No, but probably not.
Typically, we have one of the top two with us on a weekly basis. David Garrard, I think most people would acknowledge Mark Brunell's accomplishments, put him at the top of the Jaguar quarterback hierarchy.
But, yep.
Not too many Jag quarterbacks winning any playoff games beyond that one-man list. And David Garrard, generally considered, I would say, the clear-cut number two. But Dave, starting his vacation a little bit early, had some stuff come up. He was going to be with for one final show. We might get him on from time to time over the next couple of months. But he's been fantastic to have on the last, really, 6 weeks or so, kind of looking at a player's perspective on OTAs and what these guys are going through out on the field. Tony, and I feel so liberated today.
Why's that?
Well, you and I actually, we usually go out of here. We leave. You and I and Joe Fortunato have a post-show meeting for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We usually hold that in the cafeteria where there's some food in close proximity. And we wolf down a plate of food while we, quote, meet. And then we head out to practice. And by the time we head out to practice, what part of practice is taking place?
It would be the 11-on-11s.
Typically,
the team
right?
portion, yes.
Well, rumored to be taking place because we can't even confirm the existence of the 11-on-11 drills going on out there. But yesterday we got out there, we got a chance to see a lot of 7-on-7s
yep.
and some spectacular pass catching yesterday, and we're actually able to talk about it a little bit today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's good to see, especially from a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who had an outstanding grab on one of those plays. Marcell Jensen had himself a whale of a practice yesterday as well. And for a team that's been looking for something out of the tight end position for the last couple years, Mercedes always gives you that promise of something maybe being there. There's always that hype around Mercedes going into a season. Maybe this is the year that he pays it off like he did a handful of years ago with David Garrard, who, if he was here, would be telling us, just throw it up to him. Like, if you just throw it up to him, he'll come
make
plays.
Now playing the role of David Garrard as Fat Tony, just throw that ball and he'll make plays for you.
But Marcell Jensen, who's only been able to participate really for the last week and a half, yesterday was the first time that he really flashed in a practice. And you can see the size that he has, and the ability to run away a little bit when he's in the open field, something we're used to.
No,
the tight end
was he
here.
Running away? I thought he might have. The gap may have been closed on Marcell Jensen. He was covering a lot of ground yesterday after one of his receptions, which is a great thing, regardless. But no, he had a spectacular catch. I thought Copeland had an outstanding catch.
He did.
All really almost in sequence. You had Mercedes going first, Copeland and Jensen almost coming on back-to-back plays. And, you know, it was one of those, had you had the typical crowds they've been getting when they've been opening it up to the public, you would have had a lot of oohs and ahs at practice yesterday. Let's put it that way.
No doubt about it. And especially the Copeland catch where he's going to ground to make that grab. That was a really outstanding catch. And Mercedes, like I said, it was just a case of they threw the ball up and Mercedes went up over everybody and rebounded.
Yeah.
Basically is what he did and brought that thing down. And every now and then he has one of those and you're like, wow.
Hey, how many times did Jameis Winston, I just heard Dan Hicken talking about, throw that pass to Kelvin Benjamin last year? Right? You got a weapon like that. Exploit the mismatch in size, jumping ability, and his reach extends higher than just about any player who's going to be on the field at any given time in the National Football League. I mean, he's 6'6". He can go up and get it with long arms. So does Mercedes look trimmer to you this year?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's ever been fat or anything like that. He's been he's been a brick house for the most part, but he just looks a little sleeker this year.
No, he
know.
Does.
I don't know if I'm fooling myself into thinking that.
And I think he's had a really good OTA period here for the last, you know, 2.5 weeks. Mercedes has looked good out there. I can remember, you know, one or two drops from him, maybe in some 7-on-7 stuff through the first 3 weeks of this thing. But he's had those kind of catches, too, where he's going up and making plays up in the air, which is what you want to see from a guy that's that big. I've been disappointed, Mike, that to this point we've seen him do some red zone work. Coach Bradley has talked about that. And I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like when they have Mercedes and Robinson on the field together in red zone, and what the plan is for a guy like Robinson when they get into that red zone area, especially goal line stuff, as big as he is and as well as he's caught the ball to this point in OTAs. And unfortunately, he's hurt. And we haven't had a chance to really see that out at practice yet with those two guys on the field together. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the plan is going to be, because for years now, the plan in Jacksonville on goal line has been Mercedes is going to run a fade route and we're throwing it up in the air. And now that they have the options of Mercedes as big as he is and Allen as big as he is, what are they going to try to run when they get down there in goal line?
Yeah, it's funny. They'll probably still run a lot of fades. I would think to either side you'll have that option. And
yeah.
You look based on the matchup, who's got the smaller guy on him and stuff like that. I really, it's funny because you and I try not to compare notes on what we think about practice, so we have a fresh perspective when we talk about it. But I'm sitting there on the sideline yesterday watching and thinking along those same lines, thinking, boy, when the fade works, it is so devastating. How do you stop it? And you get to see that repeatedly, them work on plays like that, you know, in red zone in different aspects, whether it's 7-on-7, 11-on-11, whatever. And I just know how fans feel about that play when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
They feel, oh, it's just so predictable. Why you know, you're not giving it a chance to develop. You're just throwing it up. And, boy, but there's a reason they drill these things over and over and over again. And when you can get that play down, it's such a mismatch if you get the time to get the pass off. And typically you're taking a one-step drop almost and just throwing that to the corner of the end zone.
Well, yeah, and it's an almost impossible play for the defender to do anything about. When you're talking about a guy the size of Mercedes Lewis, if it's thrown to the right spot, Mercedes is going to be the only one that has a chance to make a play on that ball. That doesn't mean it's going to be a touchdown every time, but he's going to be the only one that has a chance to make a play on that pass, which is not a situation that you get a whole lot of in the National Football League where you can take advantage of a matchup like that. Unfortunately, for the last couple of years, Mercedes hasn't been able to take advantage of that matchup as much as he did for his first couple of years here in Jacksonville. It just hasn't happened for him. The last month, the last season was good for Mercedes Lewis. Hopefully he carries that momentum into 2014.
Yeah, interesting you say that about him. That applies to one of our guests today, Andre Branch. The second half of the season, 5 of Andre Branch's 6 sacks, I believe, came over the last 7 weeks of the year. So whether, you know, the proverbial light went on, whatever it was, we'll get to the bottom of that. Andre Branch is going to join us today. He's one guy, Tony, that has been consistently singled out by Gus Bradley. There are a handful of them, but it's the same guys that are starting to emerge as really the Jags coaching staff feels like they're having the strongest off seasons now. He continues to say it about Cecil Shorts, even though he's missed several practices, but he's talked about Cecil's approach and professionalism. In fact, you'll hear Gus talk about these things coming up in just a few minutes here on the program, but more in line with, hey, you know what? We drafted 2 receivers in round 2.
Yeah.
He didn't go into the tank. He took that as an opportunity to say, hey, let me lead these guys. Let me show them the right way to do it. Let me use that to spur me on to even greater results for myself. But Andre Branch is a guy who, Tony, by having a guy like Chris Clemons come in and basically maybe take his spot in the starting lineup, maybe the best thing for Andre Branch's career in terms of productivity, learning, launching him into a new level of effectiveness as he goes into year 3.
You would hope so. You would certainly hope so. And this is a guy that last year when we were going into the regular season, I remember Brent Martineau were talking about whether or not he was going to make the team. You know, that's the position that Andre Branch was in last year. Who knows exactly what it's going to look like on the defensive line? They got some decisions to make there. And that Leo position, they may have to make a tough one with Clemons being here, with Babin being here, with Branch being here, depending on what these guys do in the preseason. But it's good for Andre Branch that he's taking a step forward in OTAs. Maybe Coach Bradley is trying to encourage him. We saw him last year. We talked about the play where he got pulled to the side after giving up a first down when the defense had gotten off the field because of a bonehead play where Coach Bradley talked to him. Instead of screaming at him, he talked to him. And maybe Andre is one of those guys who needs that type of one-on-one attention and encouragement more than he needs to be torn down. And maybe that's part of what Coach Bradley's doing. He's trying to psych out his own player, trying to help him, get him in a positive mindset as he goes into training camp here in a couple weeks. Look, he's a talented player. And you gotta hope that he puts everything together on the field, and it can't hurt that he's got a guy like Chris Clemons now in front of him.
No, you wouldn't think so. And we'll hear what Gus specifically had to say about Andre Branch and others coming up in just a couple minutes. Andre Branch will join us, I think, in about 25 minutes. You'll hear that interview. Also, Fat Tony had a chance to catch up with a couple of guys post-practice in the locker room yesterday, including Dakota Watson and Denard Robinson. We'll hear the latest from those guys as they adjust to their second and first years with the Jacksonville Jaguars, respectively, if I said them in the right order. You know what I'm talking about. It's all good. Jamie McMurray's in the house today, yeah. Tony, or will be. He is landing at JIA in about 15 minutes, and they're going to whisk him over here, and you're saying, well, what does that have to do with Jaguars today? Well, Jamie McMurray, of course, driver of the number one McDonald's Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi Racing, is in town promoting the Coke Zero 400, which is coming up in early July, along with Joey Chitwood III, who is the president down at Daytona International Speedway. They'll both be at practice today, and not only observing, but participating at practice today. They're going to do put themselves in the hacker zone. Hacker, infamous. I don't know if there's ever been a proven Zapruder film of Hacker trying to field the punt back at the media session where they, you know, this is back in the early Del Rio days, I believe it was, where they had members of the media come out and go through a series of drills, and Hacker, I believe, fielded the punt with the wrong part of his body.
Yep.
Let's put it at that. But Jamie McMurray and Joey Chitwood are going to be put through a series of drills. They have to get him fitted for a helmet, Tony. That's the first thing. When he gets here, he's going to get fitted for his Jaguar helmet. And then hopefully he's going to stop by the Jaguars Today studios, tell us what he is up to. And we'll talk to him about the connection between himself and the NFL and a lot of obviously big football fans in Daytona or NASCAR circles. So hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with him today and maybe ask him the fan feedback question of the day, which we will reveal to you coming up momentarily. When we return, Gus Bradley post-practice yesterday weighing in on OTA's Week 3 minicamp coming up next week. Also talked about some of the differences, what you'll look for next week compared to this week. And so weigh in today, 641-1010. You can always get on board the program. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, or post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. We come back, you'll hear from Gus Bradley as we get rolling on a Tuesday here. It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, it's for David, and he's not even here.
Dad! We had it all prepared. At least Lauren did. That's not what I called her a minute ago. Oops.
Okay, so that sounds really bad.
What?
That's not what I called her a minute ago.
That's not what I called her a minute ago. I called you. We were talking about Blaylock on the break, and in only complimentary fashion, of course.
Obviously.
And then I referred to you as Blaylock.
Yeah.
So you're not my wife. It's okay if I call you some other woman's name. It's all good.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you may not be happy, but the repercussions on me are not going to be as significant as if
very true.
As if I made that other faux pas. Fat Steve is here with us as well today.
What?
Hello, Fat Steve.
Hi.
Fat Tony's in the house. You're going to hear from Gus Bradley coming up today. Your Tom Butch Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight, Tony. We've got a birthday today, as we often do in this state in football history. Not a whole lot happened historically in early June, but nevertheless, that birthday made me think of one of my favorite players as a kid. We'll get to that coming up. But today, the Fan Feedback Spotlight asks Jaguar fans to weigh in, whether it was a Jaguar, you may be a younger fan, or maybe you had a favorite team before they came around. Who was the first player you remember considering your favorite player when you were a kid? Who was your first favorite NFL player, regardless of what team they played for at the time? Who did you root for? So weigh in on that, and we'll look through some of the responses. You already had a ton of tweets on this, and a wide variety of opinions. We can date you, pretty much. But that's what we're trying to figure out, the demographics of the listening audience
today.
But tweet at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Blaylock. Just kidding. At 1010XL Lauren as well, or Facebook.com/Jaguars Today. You can weigh in any of those varieties and maybe win yourself a spectacular Jaguars Today t-shirt. Coming up today, you'll hear Tony's conversations with Dakota Watson and Denard Robinson. You also caught up with Kerry Taylor a little bit in the locker room.
I did.
And gave him grief about one particular play that we will discuss at least in some general terms, coming up. Because technically it happened in 11-on-11s, Tony, but I feel like Gus Bradley, it's like an episode of Law & Order.
Yeah.
Okay, when the judge says, I'm sorry, your client opened the door to that line of questioning.
Right.
If Gus brings up a specific play, unprompted, in open session in front of hot microphones, clearly... we could talk about that to some small degree, so we'll do that coming up. Let's hear what Gus Bradley had to say after yesterday's OTA practices with the Jags. Wrap it up. Still, all those receivers out, Tony.
Yeah.
I thought somebody would be bound to be back, but plenty of opportunities for guys like Kerry Taylor and Chad Bumpus to continue to try to catch the eye of the coaching staff. Here's what Gus had to say initially after practice yesterday.
Last time we came back after a couple days off, and it was okay practice, solid practice. We had some things we had to work on. So the challenge was today, after some days off, to come back. We had goal line, which is really slowed down. We had a four-minute segment, which really slows down the tempo. And all the other segments were really, really competitive. So excellent, excellent practice.
Well, we talked about that at the end of the show yesterday. What are we looking for now going into week three of OTAs? And I think, obviously, which receivers would be back on the field? Well, the answer was none. And also, Tony, would they start better than they did a week ago because they had that first layoff? And, you know, it's easy to get in a rhythm when you're out there 3 out of 4 days, 4 out of 5 days. Having a little bit of a break, I think, is a good sign for them to come back, have a better practice yesterday.
Yeah, and Coach Bradley talked about, you know, the fact that they ran some goal line yesterday. The first thing that came to my head was, well, you need one receiver to run goal line. Like, that's the thought that was in my head, so why not get some work with these guys installing that part of your game plan?
Goal line, though, and you know, we sit here and we think, is there any one thing you could run that is less comparable to when you go full contact and run a goal line portion of practice?
No, but they were down all those receivers again yesterday, and these guys continue to get opportunities. Coach had the opportunity to talk yesterday after practice about some of the guys who did have a good day.
Marcel showed up. Mercedes, I've told you before, he's had a good OTAs. He showed up in that. Copeland, Bumpus, those guys, you know, taking advantage of their opportunities, and it's been really good to see.
It's funny, you wonder, the splash plays, when they talk about guys flashing, right? That's usually one or two big plays.
Yeah.
I thought during some of the 7-on-7 set, a guy like Winston Guy was flashing at times.
And he had to pull up on guys 3 or 4 times.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Like, he's in position, and he's letting, you know, he's saluting the imaginary crowd after the play. The defensive coaches are running over to him and patting him on the head. You can't blow anybody up, so he's doing the right thing, pulling up, but he is announcing his presence as he comes up in run support. And that's one thing Gus said he loves, is the fact he's got another strong safety on the field, basically, who can run, but you get that guy on the field, and you got another thumper back there. We talked about some individuals, or Gus just did a moment ago. What did he say the team did well yesterday?
I thought we did a good job, although how competitive it was, we did a good job protecting our teammates. A couple times where some seam routes where the safety came out of the third and pulled off. We looked at good execution on both sides of the ball. So just overall very pleased with today. Very pleased.
Yeah, that was definitely Winston Guy.
Yeah, that was Winston. Man, it was funny. I was out there with Richard Miller last week watching practice, and he was like, if you were a Jaguar player, like going back to when you played, who do you like think you most compared to? And I was like, well, I thought about it. I always enjoyed hitting people more than I enjoyed getting hit. I was fast enough, but never fast. And I was out of control.
Fast,
generally.
Tony.
Yeah, I was generally a little bit out of control. I was like, Winston Guy. That's my guy.
Is that
you? Yeah, I was like, yeah, he's kind of a wrecking ball back there. The idea is to hit somebody and make them feel it. That seems to be his kind of game. And that was probably a lot like I was when I was playing in high school.
The guy I would most compare to would be like, the third string quarterback, a tall guy who doesn't play. That's what I would think.
Well, I wanted to make myself at least a borderline
star. All right, I mean, your body type.
I'm not putting myself on the bench.
You're a dead ringer for Winston Guy body wise, by the way.
Yeah,
so
that's
that made
the
me
truth.
Think of that right away.
Sorry, Winston. It's bad news for Winston Guy if he's my body type. I'm not sure how long he's going to last in this league. Coach was also asked, we talked about the practice last Monday and how bad it was, why he thought he got a better effort from his guys today.
We emphasized it, and maybe, you know, we emphasized it even greater, you know, to come back. I think that the comfort level Obviously, the install is slowing down some now, so guys are playing a little bit faster. But I just felt like they attacked the periods more than maybe previous week.
Got some fresh bodies in there, signed a receiver last Friday, another one yesterday before practice. So had some reinforcements, and Gus was asked if those two new wide receiver bodies helped them conduct practice.
It did. We went through everything except three plays in the very end, the opportunity period. And we haven't been able to do that so much. And we took our time and we taught specific periods, so those guys helped us out.
We're going to talk to one of these three guys he's about to mention as the players who stood out. Andre Branch a little bit later on in Jaguars Today this morning. But Coach was asked about who is standing out right now. He singled out three guys.
I think there's three guys to note. I think Chad Henne, Cecil Shorts, and Andre Branch. Those three guys really stand out to me. I think whenever you draft a quarterback like we did as high, sometimes there can be some distractions, and not for Chad. He's really done a great job. I think Cecil, same thing. You draft a couple receivers, you know, there could be some uncertainty. Not with Cecil. He's done a great job, and a great job leading now. And with Brancher, a guy like, we already got some good players there in Babin, and then to bring a guy like Chris Clemens and to see Andre Branch really focused and really capture every opportunity, those three really stand out.
I don't know if it helps you making the 53-man roster, but it's got to make you feel a little good when Gus Bradley's got a nickname for you. Even though it's just Brancher.
Sure.
It's not anything special, you know, Hernsey. I'd feel better if he refers to me as Hernsey than number whatever, as far as that goes. But, the one thing about Cecil, too, that you see out there, he has been involved with these young guys, you know, kind of as a coach between reps, getting in the rear, answering questions, asking them about assignments, stuff like that. So I think that, as much as anything right now, is important that he contributes in that way. He knows the offense. He's got that down. He's got some simpatico with Chad Henne. He'll have plenty of time as long as he's healthy for training camp to hit the ground running at the start of the season. That's not a big concern to me right now to not have him out on the football field. You want to see it happen sooner than later,
yeah.
But not necessarily week three of OTAs. We'll see how this week goes in that regard. One guy doing a great job hanging on the football, catching the ball, is a guy that you caught up with in the locker room yesterday. We'll hear that about 30 minutes from now. Denard Robinson, and Gus went on at length about Denard yesterday.
Well, I think he's playing with a greater deal of confidence. You see it. I don't know if there is wood here, but I don't think he's dropped a pass. And, then we throw a double pass to him, and it's floating in the air, and, you know, he goes to make the grab, and he made the play on that. So I just think he's playing with a great deal of confidence right now with what he's asked to do. You can see that because he spends quite a bit of time with Storm, and he's helping him. So, you know, all those are signs that he's feeling more comfortable with what's asked of him.
I'm sorry, counselor. Your client opened the door to the double pass there. Denard Robinson, we've remarked on this a few times without getting into specifics because this really doesn't tell you about strategy. I think, you know, we kind of joke about they don't want us to talk about anything going on during 11-on-11. So it's not a joke, but the reason being, they don't want you giving away personnel groupings, formations, how they're using guys. Part of it, because they want, a degree of secrecy on mm-hmm. what they do, as every team would, the element of surprise, but also because they bring so many different guys in there, and they're trying so many different things. Like, this guy typically plays X, let's try him at Y. Let's move him around the formation. And what they don't want, I think, is to get people get way ahead of the story. You write one thing, you know, Ryan O'Halloran remarks how he thinks Ace Sanders is no lock to make the roster, and it gets picked up nationally, and people are putting Ace Sanders on the roster bubble. Well, he may be in Ryan's mind, and maybe he ends up there, but one thing reported by an eyewitness gets taken and rolled up into something bigger.
Sure.
But I think it's fair to say that in that role, that Gus, and when he said, I think there's Wood here, who's doing the whole knock on wood thing on the podium,
yeah.
That Denard has shown outstanding hands during the offseason. Now, look, he knows nobody's coming up to plow him, nobody's going to hit him when he catches the football, but in terms of ball security, that was a big issue for him last year, hanging on to the football, catching it to begin with. So far, returns are pretty positive.
No, they are, and that's what you want to see from a second-year player. Maybe he's just more comfortable doing it than he was last year, and that helps him out. And again, I had a chance to talk to him a little bit after practice because he was one of the stars of practice. There were a bunch of them out there yesterday, though. We've already talked about Marcel Jensen and Damian Copeland and some of these guys and the taking advantage of those opportunities. This week, a little bit different than the first couple weeks of OTAs. They have four practices this week. Coach Bradley was asked if anything changes with having four practices instead of three.
This is a challenging week, four practices in this week, you know, to go two and then a day off and then two more to come back and finish. So I think that there's could be a feeling that we're over the hump and we're getting closer to that mini camp. But I don't see it in our guys, you know, the way they prepare and the way they're coming out. Just like today, to come out here, this was not a practice where they're counting the days. You know, more they're making them count, and that's what we like about it.
All right, we will hear more from some of these players that Gus has been discussing. OTA practices get underway for day two this week, a little under an hour from now. Tony and I will join those practices, not suiting up like Jamie McMurray, although... Given the opportunity, would you go out there with the helmet on, field some punts? Fielding the punts does not have a whole lot of appeal to me, okay? No one's going to mistake me for a quick twitch, make you miss kind of guy.
No.
But I would run some pass patterns, you know? Throw me in some cleats out there. I would run some pass patterns, knowing that, you know, as long as Winston Guy promises to continue to pull up right before burying me, I would absolutely take the opportunity to do something like that. I think it'd be a blast. But I want some of those gloves, too.
Yeah.
I want a pair of, like, 2X gloves so I can make the little Jaguar sign with my hands together in the diamond. That's kind of what I'm going for. Folks, this Thursday, it's a 1010 XL 92.5 FM Jaguar Ticket Blitz. You can listen to Jag players and coaches all day long on 1010 XL and get a special rate. There are going to be special deals on Jag tickets for 1010 XL listeners only this Thursday. So take advantage of it. If you've been on the fence, if you're looking to jump in, listen in Thursday and take advantage of some special opportunities in the ticketing department. It's been interesting watching this Cabana story over the last few days, as if we didn't know they were coming. It's like everywhere now. People just pick it up. I guess the one interesting part of the story, Tony, when it comes to ticket sales, is they've sold 65% of the Cabana seats for the year already, which I think is a pretty good number, is my guess, as far as that goes. But outside of that, you'd think that the Jags just announced, hey, we're going to put a pool in.
Yeah, I know.
Who knew? Who knew that was going to come? Well, everybody for the last year knew that was going to come, so that's been interesting to watch. But we will get to some phone calls coming up a little bit later on if we have time. But coming up next, Brancher is going to come in. That's what Gus Bradley refers to Andre Branch as, and he's referred to him as a standout at organized team activities this offseason. So you'll hear our interview with Andre Branch coming up next. Mike Dempsey, along with Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, you got it. You got to figure it out yet, Tony, what the music theme of the day is yet?
Not the theme.
Do you want some help?
Yeah, I want some help.
Okay, earth, wind, and fire. And this is against the wind.
Yeah, this is wind.
Yeah?
Right?
So what are you getting at?
What is Andre Branch's nickname?
Windmill.
Windmill.
There we go.
So what?
We're going to work in
so
mill?
So what's the theme?
Wind related, okay.
Wind related theme. I got
you. I'm stretching it a bit.
No, you got it. You got it. By the way, Lauren is the boss of Twitter. If you wondered who the boss, she's the boss of the Jaguars Today hashtag. That's for sure, and I love it. Also, I forgot. Coming up later in the show, we ban someone from listening for the first time to Jaguars Today. Haven't done that yet.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to banning somebody from listening later on in the broadcast. We'll give you the details on that later. But Lauren has been laying down the law to people on Twitter to now where they forget to include the hashtag Jaguars Today, they include the hashtag Sorry Lauren in their follow-up tweets. So try to remember that. If you're prize hunting, and who wouldn't want a delightful Jaguars Today t-shirt with the brand new teal logo of the 1010 XL on the back? They're pretty sweet, if I do say so myself. And if you do want one, though, try to include that hashtag in your Facebook and Twitter posts or tweets and or tweets. Hashtag Jaguars today. Today's question, do it, says Lauren. Today's question is simply, who was your favorite player, your first favorite NFL player as a kid, when you first got into the game, or maybe later in life, if you got in the game a little bit later, who was your first favorite player that you rooted for as a child? Doesn't have to be on the team you root for now. Doesn't matter. Who was it? That's all we're looking for today, and we will award someone a Jaguars Today t-shirt at the end of the broadcast. Today, right now, let's talk with a guy that we talked a lot about already this morning. Gus Bradley calls him Brancher. All right, joining us today on Jaguars Today, Andre Branch, going into his third year as a defensive end here in Jacksonville. And he's been singled out for praise a few times during these OTAs by his head coach, Gus Bradley. Hey, Andre, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. Overall, your impression, OTAs, how have they gone for you so far?
They're going pretty good. You know, we got everybody in now. We're starting to gel as a team on offense and defense and special teams. So that's good. Everybody's here. So we know we have in our locker room, and we look for big things out of it.
As Mike said, Coach Bradley has singled you out a couple times over the course of these OTAs. I know it's a broad question, but what are you doing right, Andre?
I just go into each and every day just to get better. That's what I harp on to myself. Every time I get up, I just want to be better than yesterday. You know, Coach Wash is always there pushing us, and in the D-line room, we have a lot of great players, so we just push each other. If somebody's down, we pick each other up, and that's what we just keep doing, and I feel like everybody on the team is getting better.
Well, from the outside, we always focus in on sacks, and you know how we are, media and fans. It's an easy thing to look at. We don't necessarily look at the bigger picture of pressure and making plays that don't show up in the book. But you know, you did increase your sack total. Second half of last year, you really seemed to come on in that category. Was there a turning point for you in the season, or it just happened that your hard work started to finally pay off at that point?
I would say hard work paid off. You know, if you focus on getting sacks, you won't get them. You just got to keep doing your job, and they'll come. You know, everybody always is like, you need to get 30 sacks, which is unrealistic. But at the same time, as long as my team is doing well, I'm fine with it. I don't focus on what outsiders have to say about me or my teammates, because we know what we have. And if my teammates and coaches trust in me, that's all I care about.
You take the 30 sacks, though, right?
Of course.
What do you focus on during this portion of the year? You guys aren't in pads, so for defensive guys, especially there on the line of scrimmage, not a whole lot of contact going on. Yeah. So what do you work on in OTAs?
You just got to work on your – for us, you know, we can't tackle. We can't hit the quarterback. So it's kind of rough, but at the same time, you know, we just – as an offensive defensive line, we tell each other after each play what we could work on, and we just focus on that, our hand placement and everything, and we can't bull rush, so the offensive linemen kind of know that, so they set us differently, but at the same time, we're getting each other better.
You know, Derek Marks said you, and probably a lot of your teammates do the same thing, watch film of guys you think are similar to yourself to try to pick up things that you can do and incorporate in your game. And he said one guy that you specifically watched was Chris Clemons last year. You've got him in the meeting room now. Obviously, Red Bryant's in there, Ziggy Hood. You got some new guys in the D-line room. But what does it mean to have a guy for you that you've tried to emulate, and now he's right down, you know, a couple lockers over, go talk to him?
You know, me and Clem knew each other before he even got here. And Clem has been in this league for 12 years, so it'll be dumb of me not to learn things from him. I've looked at him on film a lot because our whole staff came from the Seahawks. And so when my second year last year, when they came in, we always saw clips of them. And he plays my same exact position. So I would look at things he would do, and I'd talk to Coach Wash about it. And then me and him would communicate. But now he's right here, you know, so I learn, pick up things from him. He learns things from me, and we just keep going.
Looking back to a couple of years ago, when you go into that D-line meeting room now, how much more talent is there in that room now than there was 2 years ago when you arrived?
Oh, man. We had some talent, but we're too deep across the board. And in some positions, we're three and four deep. So everybody that's in our room can play in this league, and that's big. You can learn something from each person in our room, and the coach that we have is incredible. He knows how to reach out to each player. It's just not he has one way of coaching. He knows how to talk to each and every player, and that's what it's all about. We're just one big family.
All right, give us a little little insight on Team Windmill as we talk here with Andre Branch. What's going on? What's the latest with Team Windmill? What kind of support you getting from the fans on Twitter, all that kind of stuff?
Man, I love it. I love interacting with the fans on Twitter and on Instagram, all over social media. You know, some fans will tweet me and be like, man, I'm kind of down. I need some Windmill wisdom. So I tweet them back with something, you know. And they support me, so I got to support them.
We're going to ask for some Windmill wisdom here in just a second for us here in the room, Andre. But when you look back at a rookie Andre Branch, do you ever just shake your head like, man, the lessons I could teach you right now, young man?
Yeah. From the rookie me, I would tell any younger player, I tell a younger player just now, don't ever let someone take your confidence and never become complacent. Because if someone takes your confidence, then that's what this whole league is about. Everybody's athletic, everybody's fast, everybody's strong. But if you're confident, then you can go a long way in this league.
And when you talk about somebody taking your confidence, you talk about like an opponent getting in your head. How does that manifest?
Everything. You know, it's a tough business. You know, fans want things right now. Coaching, if you're drafted high, people want things right now. They want to win right now. So it's just a right now type of business. So if those things don't happen right now, they don't believe in the progress of someone. So you just have to keep grinding and keep working hard, and it'll pay off.
I mean, it sounds like something you felt like you had to fight through a little
definitely,
bit, right?
Definitely. And I told myself going into my second year, I'll never let anybody take my confidence. Even if someone talks down on me, I know who I am, and I know what I can do.
I mean, the mental part of the game, people talk about coming from college, people talk about the speed of the game, but the speed doesn't just relate to how fast a guy runs his 40.
It's
mental aspect, and all the kind of ties into what you're talking about. If your mind's not right, it's tough to get the best out of your physical ability.
Definitely. If you're, mind you, like I said, everybody is a great player some way in the NFL, or they wouldn't be here. But it just translates from when I first got to college, the game was fast. Then when I got to the NFL, the game was that much faster. Once you catch up with it, now the game is very, very slow to me. Like, to the point that I know who's blocking me, I know what plays are about to happen. So that makes you play faster and faster, and as you become more and more into this league, you'll start really playing fast, and you'll catch up to your ability.
Do you set personal goals for yourself, Andre, on a year-to-year basis, and have you thought about what those might be for 2014?
Other than the 30.
So. Yes. I can't promise you 30, but I know I have more than last year, that's for sure. But at the same time, I set goals for myself since I've been in high school. So I've already written them down, and that's just what I do going into each season.
Something that I assume you keep personally to motivate yourself.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you have these goals, obviously you have team goals. A deeper team means, you know, you're going to be on the field a lot, but you're going to be off the field. Guys are going to be rotating in, and that can, you know, I think ultimately end up being a positive. You may play fewer snaps. You're going to play more effective snaps, maybe.
Yeah. See, with a D-line, we look at our offense, because if we're up, then we get to rush the passer. A lot of people don't understand that. Like, if we're down, the team's going to run the ball the whole time, just to run the clock out. But the players we have on our offense, and Chad leading the way, we're going to be able to rush a lot this year. And that's what we talk about at D-line all the time, is we get to rush the passer. And in years past, we didn't have that many chances to rush the passer, but this year we know what we have.
What have your early impressions been in camp of the two quarterbacks, Chad Henne and Blake Bortles?
Man, you know Chad is Chad. He's just a composed quarterback. He's a seasoned vet. He can handle everything that's thrown at him. And Blake is just a raw talent, man. He's 6'5", 240, with a cannon of an arm, and he gets to learn from somebody like Chad.
And you got a new guy in your offensive backfield, too, Toby Gerhart. That,
yeah.
You talk about non-contact drills. This is a guy, he needs 15 hits before he really starts showing up, right?
Contact. He knows that we can't hit him, and we know we can't hit him right now. So, but I've played against Toby my rookie year. That was the first game, my first NFL game. So I know what he has. So we're not worried about that. We know Toby, once he gets the ball, he's looking for contact. He won't shy away from any of it.
Are you at a point yet? I mean, week three of OTAs now. You defensive guys, I know you just want to kill somebody at this point. I mean, y'all are dying. Have y'all put together a pool yet? Maybe, you know, pay one of the guys. Here's $10,000. We're just going to put you on your back.
Because we're all about protecting the team.
I got you.
You know, it's rough, but at the same time, we know what's best for our team. And so our thing is, whatever is best for our team, that's what we're going to do. And we love our teammates. Whatever the coaches say, Coach Bradley brought in the culture, and that's what we're going to respect.
By the way, we mentioned Andre big on Twitter, at BranchNOut90. It's Branch, the letter N, O-U-T, the number 90 is how you can follow him. And a lot of folks do, nearly 12,000 in the Twitter sphere right now. Get Team Windmill pumped up over 12K by the end of the day. That's the goal for us here, Andre, for you. For you, as we wrap up here, just, you know, rest of OTA's minicamp, what are you looking to get out of the next couple weeks?
Just get better, man. That's what I always say, is just get better. I don't even say anything more than that. Just get better and just keep pushing.
Right, before you go, man, some windmill wisdom. We need it in the room.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
All right, I go with this today. Never focus on proving people wrong. Prove the right ones right.
Prove the right ones right.
There you go.
All right, there you go. Andre Branch, I will spend the next hour trying to figure out what that means. And we'll see you out on the practice field, man. Have a good couple of weeks, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there.
Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for stopping by. Andre Branch, again, at BranchNOut90 on Twitter, stopping by here with us on Jaguars Today. Oh, halftime's over. Jaguars Today, 1 hour in the books, hour two right now. This Dayton football history, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, as is often the case, not a lot of historical milestones in the month of June when it comes to professional football in the United States. Nope. However, you know, I'll take a look at the occasional birthday. And today, I noticed that 63 years ago, according to the ever-infallible TheFootballSearchEngine.com, Dan Fouts was first put on this earth.
How about that?
Baby Danny was born, and it got me thinking today. That kind of ties in with our question of the day. Who was your favorite player as a kid? He wasn't my favorite, but when we played backyard football, early 80s now, we did two things. We all would pretend we were members of the San Diego Charger offense when we had the ball, or we were members of the Jets, New York Jet sack exchange defense when we were on defense, and that's just kind of how we did it. I was actually, if you can believe it or not, I was a backyard running back. Not exactly built like one, but that's what I played a lot. So I was Chuck Muncy all the time. But my favorite guy was Kellen Winslow, senior. And I told him that. I've gotten to interview him a few times over the years, so that's been pretty cool. You know, I kind of kidded around at the Super Bowl a few years ago. We got to interview Joe Namath when I was doing the show with Tom McManus. And Sam Kavaris had stopped by the table, and as Namath came over, he tried to hog him for a conversation. I said, hey, back off. That's my hero. Give him to me right now. And, you know, he really wasn't, because I was too young to really appreciate. You know what I mean? I was like 1 year old.
I'm a Jets fan. It was the 1 year in the sunshine.
Oh, it was a great. I understood the significance of it, but I didn't root for Joe Namath growing up. He wasn't didn't match up age-wise. Who did you root for when you were a kid? Like, was it a specific player on the Giants, or was it just somebody that caught your eye offensively?
No, the first player that I remember being my favorite player was also the first jersey I ever got, was Brett Favre.
Oh, really?
Loved to watch him play with kind of that backyard improvisational style that he had, and his arm was ridiculous. Like, we used to talk about being in the yard, and like, how much money would you need to be paid for Brett Favre to throw one as hard as he could at you,
like right, hit you in the chest,
like one of those things,
with your,
like,
arms at your sides.
If you knew it was going to break your hand, how much money would it be worth, you know, those kind of discussions. But yeah, Brett Favre was the first one that I really loved. And by the way, speaking of Dan Fouts, yesterday it was announced that CBS is promoting Dan Fouts and Ian Eagle to the number two team with the CBS TV broadcast. So they'll be behind Nance and Sims still, but they'll be the B team, basically.
I'm probably in the 5% that thought Dan Fouts was excellent on Monday Night Football. I loved him as an announcer on Monday Night Football. I wish he could have lightened up around Dennis Miller more, because I thought Dennis Miller tried to actually set him up.
I did,
and,
too.
And it was just a bad mix. Fouts had no interest in sharing a booth with Dennis Miller at the time. And I think that submarined that booth's chances of success.
Probably,
let's put it that
yeah.
way. But today, you can continue to tweet and post on Facebook your responses. Who was your favorite growing up? The first favorite player you had? Mine would probably be Kellen Winslow. By the way, Don Coryell should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. Is not. And hopefully one day we'll get put into Canton, Ohio, because I thought he did some pretty amazing things offensively a little bit ahead of his time. That was a fun team to watch, the Air Coryell attack of the Chargers. This date in football history, commemorating the birth of Dan Fouts, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or you're just in the market for a family dentist, you can call Dr. McCall's office, and they'll take care of you in either regard. 620-9225, the number, 620-9225. They are a certified Invisalign provider, and they offer a 10% discount on all first-time customer initial visits. In the meantime, check out jamesjmccall.com, and you get a complete list of their comprehensive care services as they present this date in football history. Coming up, we hope to talk with NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, the driver of the number one.
Yeah.
I just want to say, who are you? What do you drive? I did that with Austin Dillon at the Super Bowl, and it was just fun to sit back, and they kick right into mode.
I was going to say, hey, man, it's victory lane. You just stepped out of that car.
Who are you? What do you drive?
What's the rundown?
Exactly. they've got it down by heart, I guarantee you that. As Jamie McMurray today, along with Joey Chitwood, the president of Daytona International Speedway, are going to be participating in OTA practice a little bit, doing some drills. They also have a presentation for Gus Bradley after the practice here, in part to publicize, of course, the Coke Zero 400 coming up in a little less than a month. Yesterday, Tony got a chance to catch up with a guy who's been a guest on Jaguars Today and now making a return engagement. and this, I presume, aired on the increasingly popular Pat Tony show last night.
No, it definitely. I played it last night, and spoiler alert, by the way, before we even run this thing, we will spoil X-Men Days of Future Past, as well as parts of the Marvel Universe that you might not be aware of.
By the way, Dakota's
a bit of a nerd. I
like
it.
Huge into the whole superhero genre.
And I try to get him to sing for us again. He gave us some SpongeBob SquarePants last time that we had the opportunity to talk to him. But look, this is the guy that they're talking about potentially being the starting auto for this team, too, and I'm still not entirely sure what that means. So I got a chance to ask the guy who may be playing the position what it means and got a little more clarification.
Here with Dakota Watson, linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I know got to be a little bit frustrating for you right now not being able to be out on the field as much as you want.
Right, most definitely. But at the same time, we're just trying to be smart about this whole situation. They really don't need me right now at all. Season hasn't started, so this will also give me time to be able to heal my body right. But I'm still, you know, in the way, in the classroom, so to say, watching film and things like that. So it's not a total loss at all. So I'm just going to continue to stay focused and worry about what's to come.
For you, if this was, say, we're getting ready for week one, do you feel like you could be out there on the practice field getting ready for a regular season game?
Yeah, yeah. Part of that would have been pride. And, you know, and at the same time, you know, you just got to go out.
You can get him later.
But, yeah, I mean, if it was the Super Bowl, you know, and my leg was chopped off, I mean, you got to play.
Right.
It's one of those type things. But at the same time, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, today, and we got plenty of time left. So I'm just going to worry about getting, you know, 100 and be ready to go by week one.
Is it? And I know it's a new defense, a new team for you as well. Does that make it even more frustrating for you to not be able to be out there as they're installing the defense for this season?
No, I mean, I'm in the classroom with the guys too at the same time, so I'm getting my mental reps and everything again, and I feel like, you know, those are just as important as getting the physical reps. I mean, I love to be out there with the boys, but at the same time, I just know my situation, and like I say, taking it one day at a time.
Look, you come in here, they bring in the auto position. You've been a guy that's been talked about as playing that auto. No more strong side linebacker. It's a little bit weird for us to have to adjust to that. What exactly have you been told about what that position will entail?
I mean, to me, it's just pretty much what the Sam does. I mean, just one of the guys that's able to rush, be able to drop, you know, play over the ball, whatever the case may be. I mean, I want to say freelance, but it's not a freelance. But I mean, you're able to do a lot more with that position. So I'm just ready to go. I'm excited about it. And I'm just glad the coaches, you know, are confident of me playing that position.
Would you rather play coverage or do you want to go get the quarterback?
Man, I want to do it all. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It ain't nothing like getting the pick and ain't nothing like getting the sack. So that's the advantage of being an auto because you can do both.
And I know that one of the things you bring to the game is speed. Is that part of what they want out of you in that auto because it is kind of a coverage and a rush linebacker spot?
Well, most definitely. That's one thing that they really, you know, emphasize on was my speed and being able to bring some heat off the edge if needed and being able to cover if needed. And I'm just really looking forward to it. Not only that, I mean, the special teams part of it. I mean, I love special teams and, you know, with the punt and pump block, things like that. I mean, that's my niche too, so I'm looking forward to it.
Last time I had a chance to talk to you, Dakota, it was over in the studio for Jaguars Today, and you sang a little SpongeBob for us. We love that thing, and I know you're a comic book movie fan as well. Have you had a chance to go see X-Men yet?
Yes, oh, most definitely. I already seen it and everything, and I was very impressed with it, how they had the storyline come together. So I'm looking forward to, you know, Apocalypse coming back. I mean, I don't know if anybody noticed that at the end. I don't even know if anybody noticed, you know, that Quicksilver is Magneto's son, Scarlet Witch. That's, you know, that's his kid too. So people need to know these things, and I'm just gonna go ahead and put the information out. Got my shirt, you know, like I say, I represent Marvel every day.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, a little Hulk action, Iron Man, Captain America. You know, I always stay ready in the Marvel books, so it's pretty cool. And everybody keep coming to my house, giving me comic books. And
Yeah,
this is the coolest thing. My neighbors just bring me a whole bunch of comic books and all this kind of stuff to put in my Marvel room. It's the coolest thing.
So none of the continuity bothered you? Like, you didn't get to the beginning of the movie and be like, Professor X is alive.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that man died.
Yeah, but at the same time, I knew that his body had died, but I don't know exactly where that his mind was still out there. I mean, I didn't think he was all.
Did you hear the explanation from Ratner, who directed the third one? He said that Professor X had a twin brother, who his consciousness basically went to his twin. Yeah, that was his explanation for it.
That's news to me.
I don't know how I feel about it either.
I done read that book. I done read the encyclopedia and everything and all these guys, and I ain't never heard about.
I don't know how I feel about Professor X just hijacking his brother's life.
Yeah, but the only brother that I knew of was his stepbrother, which was the Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
The Juggernaut is his stepbrother, and they had beef and everything, but that's the only brother that I knew of.
Yeah, me too. It kind of caught me off guard when he was trying to give that explanation. Well, before I let you go, you got any more cartoons you want to sing for us? Give us a little bit?
I don't have any cartoons.
Just a little bit?
I don't have. What cartoon did I have right now?
I don't know. You had SpongeBob. You gave us a little SpongeBob. What else do you like?
I don't have anything right
now. Okay. Okay. Well, next time I come, you better.
I have something next time.
Next time I talk to you, we better.
In my head, I can't think of anything right now, but I got you next time.
All right. That's cool, Dakota. 10 seconds here just talking to the fans of Jacksonville. What would you like to say?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm very, very excited about, you know, the fans accepting me into the family and all the things that they're doing and saying on Twitter. And I really just appreciate and love the support. Like I say, I'll be in the community and doing community service, so feel free to come talk to me. I'm not one of them guys that just think I'm higher than you. I'm going to talk to you, treat you like anybody else. So that's it.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Dakota Watson. I wasn't sure he was going to get his 10 seconds. He got his 10 seconds.
Oh, he got his 10 seconds. Everybody gets their 10
Everyone
seconds.
Everyone gets their 10 seconds of
We'll
fame
put together the montage in the 10 seconds. It's going to happen.
Speaking of montages, we were sitting here thinking, how many times do we say the word today during Jaguars Today? Warren Brooks, always thinking, has come up with the first Jaguars Today drinking game.
This is dangerous.
It's pretty simple. The way you should do it, you got to go to jaguars.com. And go to their media center and download the podcast. We don't want you driving around,
right,
obviously, but, or if, you know, you're unemployed or whatever you're doing from 10 to noon, however you're enjoying the program.
Just start drinking.
If you need a reason, we've got one for you.
When the program starts, you start.
Jaguars
and
Today
when
is on.
It stops, you finish.
There you go. And
you can choose. Depending on how much you want to drink, you could do Today or you could do Jaguars Today.
Yes, if you're in a position where you can drink during the show and it's not going to, you know, you're not going to get behind the wheel of a car or it's not going to cause you to lose your job, then every time we say Today, have a sip.
Yeah.
And let us know what the final tally was.
If anyone does make a drinking game based around this show,
awesome.
That would be awesome. But let us know what your rules were. Like, we want to be in on whatever this game was that you were playing, if it is just every time we say today.
Because he'll be drinking.
But
today.
If you put some other rules in, whatever, let us know. I would love to be in
What if drink more if every time we said today or every time if we had Gus Bradley and he says, it was good.
Good.
It was good.
It's good.
It's good. Good practice. We had a good day today. It's all good with Gus. All right, let's get a quick call in before we break. 641-1010. Patrick's been hanging on, trying to get in, weighing in on childhood favorites. What's up, Patrick? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
It just brought back fond memories of, you know, playing on the playground. I think, Mike, I think you and I are probably about the same age. But my guy, I've actually got two. So my guy, my first guy was Art Monk. And I don't know if you remember Art Monk. He always had the sleeves on his shoulders were always, like, really big and flapping in the wind for some reason. So I would always, before I would go out, I'd rip the underside of my sleeves off.
Nice.
And have them flapping around, you know, while I'm catching balls. And then the second one was, of course, you know, you stole my thunder with the Chargers. But it was less Kellen Winslow than it was Charlie Joyner, Wes Chandler, and John Jefferson.
Oh, phenomenal.
And I think Lofton, James Lofton eventually joined that bunch. But, yeah, I had a Wes Chandler jersey, and I'd go lay out for football. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, Kellen Winslow was more a little bit bigger, a little bit slower. he fit me a little bit more to a T. I hated the Redskins, by the way, in the 1980s, Tony, because guess why? My best friend at the time was a big Redskin fan. That's generally the number one reason. If the team was not located in the state of Massachusetts,
yeah.
Why I would not like that team was that someone that I held in great esteem liked rooting for.
You
them.
Like to root against people's
That's
favorites.
How I am. We're hoping to welcome in one of NASCAR's favorites, Jamie McMurray, in town today. Hopefully we'll get a few minutes with him. In the meantime, 641-1010. He's getting ready to go to Jaguar OTAs. We're going to be there as your eyes and ears today. If you'd like to weigh in on your childhood favorite, that's our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Who was your first favorite NFL player when you were a kid and you first started getting into the National Football League? You can send that along to us. Also, I got a pretty cool event coming up later on this month that's going to benefit the Boselli Foundation. Tony Boselli Foundation. We'll tell you about that when we return as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live from Everbank. It is Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, I get this one. Now that the cat's out of the bag on that one, I got that one.
Would you have gotten them all if I had not given you the reason behind it?
I would have picked up on wind, but, you know, earth, wind, and fire, and I get it, against the wind, my bad, but I was thinking Silver Bullet Band. I just didn't know how those
right.
two things went together.
Yeah, so you have to time. Play off of both the artist and the song name.
It's good to keep me around, though, because who wants the guy who gets it right out of the box every time, Tony, and then spoils all the fun for everyone else?
You're right.
So, we appreciate those of you out there, by the way, who are starting in early on the new Jaguars Today drinking game and have expressed that to us. we just say participate responsibly.
That's right.
In all Jaguars Today functions, including any potential drinking games, which you may choose to enter only as a responsible adult from the cozy confines of your own living room.
Yeah, we have no liability.
Well,
if you want to drink yourself into oblivion.
We're trying to make sure we have no liability. If you want to drink yourself into oblivion, first of all, we would say it's probably not a wise choice.
No,
okay?
It's not a wise choice.
What's going on? What can we do? Can we be here for you? Can we talk this through? outside of that, just, you know, put it down. By the way, I told you I was going to ban someone from listening today, and I am going to ban this person. Whose name, they know who they are. I don't have to give the full last name. But David H., you're banned. You know who you are, okay?
What did David do?
David, he pissed off Donna Murphy.
Oh.
And that's pretty much all you need to have it get done. Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Blaylock, you don't mess with those three.
No.
Or you're going to get banned from listening. But apparently he was a prize winner on 1010XL.com and was less than impressed with his prize. Had it been a Jaguars Today t-shirt, he would have not felt that way, that's for sure. But he was apparently
not
very nice
there
about it.
For the initial rage with that, when I went to the station yesterday, I was like, hey, what's this doing on the cat outside?
Yeah.
And Donna was like, what?
So there you go, Murph. That one's for you. David H., you are no longer allowed to listen to Jaguars
I've
today.
Heard that what before. I was like, oh, no.
That
whoever
is enforceable.
This is in trouble.
Oh, no question about it. I heard it for 5 years, Tony, or the better part of 5 years.
Oh, no.
Was it that long? I don't know how long it was. By the way, I told you there is an event that will benefit the Pacelli Foundation coming up later this month. The Bold City Brigade is putting this on, and 100% of the event proceeds go to benefit the Bocelli Foundation. So that's why we're telling you about it. It's going to take place at 1904 Music Hall and supported by Engine 15 Brewing Company. It's going to be Friday, June 20th from 7 until 11 o'clock at night. $25 ticket for admission. Again, 100% of all those sales will go to benefit the Bocelli Foundation. Your first pint is for free on the house from Engine 15. You get a BCB pint glass and a special commemorative gift. And they'll also have food trucks on hand and the ability to buy more drinks responsibly.
Yeah.
And all the proceeds, again, benefit the Bocelli Foundation. It says Jaguar dignitaries will be in attendance.
Ooh.
Tony. So check that out.
I think that means you guys.
I don't believe that does mean us. I'm not a dignitary in my own house, as far as that goes. I'm looking for the best way, for you to get information. Probably just head to, boldcitybrigade.com. It looks like it, and you can click on the link for the Pacelli Foundation.
Engine 15 is a really fun place, if no one
check that out. I'm taking that to be a craft beer locale.
That is correct.
Am I correct about that one?
You are correct. It's right next to Taco Lou. Right on Beach Boulevard.
I guess the brewing company was the dead giveaway in that one.
You're so smart.
As far as that goes. So.
Well, it looks like they're heading out to the practice field right now. So McMurray and Chitwood are out there.
Oh, are they out there right now?
Yeah. They may be bringing them in after the field punts or whatever they're going to wind up doing out there for the drills. We'll see.
All right. Is that the word you're getting right now?
I assume so because I see the picture from Tad Dickman of those two guys walking out to the practice field.
Do they have helmets on?
I can see Chitwood's helmet.
You can? Okay.
Yeah.
Is he wearing it or is he carrying
it? He's carrying it right now.
That's probably the smart move.
Because he's right next to Ryan Davis, who wears number 59.
Right.
And they gave Chitwood number 59.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So I'm sure.
Ryan Davis, better go check your locker, brother.
Who is this little dude?
Okay. Man, it's unbelievable. Can't do my job. So, all right, shoulder pads or just what are we looking at?
No shoulder pads.
Jersey?
Yep, they got the jerseys.
Okay, they do have a jersey.
They got the blacks, yeah. The home blacks.
That's a sensible choice.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Couldn't have gone with something a little more temperature efficient. it's supposed to be blazing out there today, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
That's all right. Whatever.
We
have a tough job standing
Florida.
There watching them throw the football. So, all right, no Jamie McMurray right now. We do have Denard Robinson coming up. Tony got a chance to catch up with him yesterday, and we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight as well. I want to talk about a few things that Andre Branch had to say, Tony. If you missed the interview, by the way, all of our interviews get archived at 1010XL.com. Click on the on-demand section. You can go back and stream both full hours, usually within an hour after the show is concluded. You can stream both full hours live there from 1010XL.com. And also, if you want to download the show as a podcast, typically later that same day, by the very next day at the latest, you can get that available at Jaguars.com in their media section as well. So a variety of ways to catch up on the program. If you passed out from the first hour and a half of heavy Jaguars today, beverage consumption, and you want to hear what happened in the final 30 minutes, for instance, this is one of the ways you can do it. Andre Branch, Tony, I thought was very interesting. He said, don't let anybody take your confidence.
Yeah.
He was pretty transparent. He said so himself that it happened to him. It was something he had to fight through. I think, look, it's kind of how the fan base was in disappointment mode with Gene Smith. Here you go. You take this guy in the second round. You don't get much of anything out of him as a rookie. And, people want immediate returns, and that's just the way it is in the National Football League, and that comes with the territory. And, yes, that can be one of the negatives, that people expect so much. They put pressure on you, put demands on you. But that's the game, and that's the sport, and that's the career path you've chosen, and you're well compensated for it. And he clearly let that get to him, according to his own admission, and feels like, I'm beyond that now. I had some confidence, you know, some success on the field. That's going to lead me to being more confident going into this year. The coaches say he's doing all the right things. I think that's part of it, too. You know, his preparation. I think he learned how to become a pro over the last couple of years.
No, it's interesting hearing him say what he had to say, especially about the confidence and not letting anyone take that from him. Look, it was pretty obvious from the outside looking in that Andre Branch was shook a little bit his rookie year with all of the situations that he was put in. I mean, this is a guy who had 9 tackles and 1 sack as a second-round pick for this team that had been desperate to get some kind of pass rush, and the fans thought that maybe Andre Branch was going to be the guy to start that turnaround there on the defensive line. And that rookie year, he simply didn't play very well. I mean, he was bad, and bad enough that going into last season, there were some questions about whether or not Andre Branch was going to be a part of this roster going forward. And apparently, he carried the weight of that for most of that year, into that second offseason here in Jacksonville. And I don't know when it clicked for him. I'm not sure he knows when it really clicked for him. And he finally got comfortable with where he was on this roster and where he was as a player, and it started showing up on the field. But something happened for him last season where he got comfortable with the role that he has on this team. Hopefully that continues to move forward, because like I said, he is a talented athlete. And there aren't guys built like Andre Branch that just grow on trees. You know, he is a talented, skilled athlete. You got to hope that he can find some way to take full advantage of that.
And he's doing something that I think is so simple to do, yet you're almost surprised more players don't take advantage of this, is he is connected with the fan base directly, right, via social media. He's got the whole team windmill, yep. You know, what is it? Windmill wisdom, right? That he gives out his little daily positive thoughts or what have you. But he is, you know, people tweet to him. He tweets back. He retweets them. He gives the fans a feeling that they're connected to him. And now you've got a group, Tony, as a whole. And I'm sure there are people that were supportive of him the whole way. And look, if you weren't, it's understandable. You expect more. When you see a guy get drafted in the top 40 picks, you expect more than what he produced as a rookie. Fair or not, that's just the way life is, and that's the way fandom is in the National Football League, and I'm not going to blame fans for feeling that way. But he has turned a situation where they have put him in a position where he lost his confidence, in part, you know, from what the media was saying and the fan base, the reaction he got, and now he's turned it into where they embrace him.
Yeah, I think the coaching style of Mark Mularkey compared to Gus Bradley has a lot to do with it, too. I think that he was probably getting beat up in the locker room by that coaching staff as well. And Gus takes a different route with these guys. I mean, we've seen it on camera with the way Gus treats these guys. It's a different relationship. And I think for a guy like Andre Branch, he needed that. He doesn't need somebody just standing in his face screaming at him constantly, like I think a lot of fans want to see with these players. He needed something else to get that confidence back. It looks like it's coming back for him. And he's looked good. At least Coach Bradley has said he's looked good through these 3 weeks.
And whatever he's looking for, and again, we've gone over this how many times, you know, difficult for us to discern who looks good, who looks bad. How does a running play, you know, is it effective? Those guys know, because they all ooh and ah. You know, when you've got a non-contact situation, you can't blow open a hole as an offensive lineman. But when a running back hits a certain point, you know, if the oohs and ahs come from the offense, you know that he probably would have had a big play.
Yeah.
Same thing with the defense. They're out there, they're oohing and ahing at stuff that we don't necessarily pick up on. Although yesterday, everybody's oohs and ahs about those catches that were made by the tight ends, and along with Copeland as well, as a trio of pass catchers out there. Mercedes, along with Marcel Jensen and Copeland, putting on some highlight plays yesterday. Coming up, we'll hear from Denard Robinson. Tony got a chance to catch up with him in the locker room yesterday. Also review some of the feedback. Tons of interesting stuff in terms of who people rooted for as a kid. And a lot of them said, we threw that all away. And now that the Jaguars are on board. And I root for that guy, or did root for that guy to get his head smashed in by the Jags as the years went along. So we'll look at some of that coming up as well. 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to weigh in the final 20 minutes or so of Jaguars today. Get you ready for XL primetime. Jags on the practice field right now. Day 2 of this week's OTAs. Tomorrow they've got the coaching clinic. All the high school coaches are going to come in, get some first-hand instruction from the entire Jaguar coaching staff. And then Thursday and Friday back on the practice field to wrap up this week before next week's mandatory minicamp. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Lauren Brooks. We're live at Everbank here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Oh, gosh. Took me a half a beat there. The winds of change, Tony. The windmill edition of the broadcast. I appreciate the effort. I've got to be more attentive every day and figure out the theme. Because some days, Lauren, you just ask, you know, the co-host's favorite music, and that's what you go with. But
sure.
Today was definitely, what we didn't get Ride Like the Wind, did we?
We have not.
No.
So there's always, and we got one more break coming up.
That is true.
That is true. All right, 1010XL's Twitter account's been tweeting out some of the activity going on today at Everbank.
Yeah.
They have a media kind of tour of the facility, kind of update on where everything is going on. That's that was transpiring while we were on the air during the first hour. So perhaps tomorrow, Johnny O will give us an update on that as he co-hosts on the Jags off day.
I'm sure he will.
With OTAs. But one of the new food options, the ever-popular chicken and waffles will be well offered. It does actually look good. Is that coleslaw?
That's coleslaw,
buddy. I'm not a big coleslaw guy, Tony.
That looks good.
Not a big fan of the coleslaw. So I might have to ask him to hold the slaw. Also, a couple of quotes from Mark Lamping on the tour this morning, president of the Jaguars. And he says, the number one most important thing we can do to attract fans to Everbank Field is to what? Put a better product on the field. So they've been pretty steadfast in recognizing that. And I think the fan support is continuing to grow.
Yeah.
If they get paid off with better results on the field this year, Tony, and anticipate a real playoff push next year, I think you're starting to really see it all kind of knit together for that time period. I thought 65% was a pretty significant figure on those cabana sales. You know, when you're talking about renting those things out for $12,500 per cabana for a game, so pretty good stuff there. And also, Lamping said, I know that the video boards will be done and operating flawlessly, unlike my pronunciation of flawlessly, by July 26th. Well, they damn sure better be.
Right?
Right? I mean, we'll find out, right?
That's my birthday present from the Jaguars.
Is July 26th your birthday?
The day after my birthday.
Well, that was a sneaky way of throwing that out there.
I'm also subtle.
Oh, by the way. In case you weren't aware, Lauren Brooks turns 23 on July 25th. Later on this year. That's
only part of that sentence is true.
I'm just guessing that that's
way off.
That's your age, 25 perhaps. What? Regardless, somewhere in her early to mid 20s, Lauren Brooks will turn on July 25th this year. That's your headline news for today. Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight today, Tony. We simply asked, who's your favorite? Who's your first favorite NFL player that you can remember rooting for as a kid? Give us a sampling of those Twitter responses, please.
Sure, we got a lot of them. I'll try to include everyone that included the hashtag that we demand.
Good for
hashtag
you.
Jaguars today. From Joshua, we got, I loved Wayne Krabet as a kid. I think he misspelled Krabet, but I'll forgive that. Hashtag regret that I bought a Jets jersey. Hashtag Jaguars today. And for David Garrard, who's not here, hashtag from Joshua.
Nicely played. By the way, we don't care if you can spell Krabet as long as you can spell Jaguars today.
That's the truth. From Ryan, we got Bob Greasy. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Jason, Joe Montana until 95 when he was promptly replaced by Mark Brunell. Knew he would win the starting job from day one. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Mike, Dan Marino was my all-time favorite. Emmitt Smith a close second. Hashtag Jaguars today. Matt Maple says Warrick Dunn. A better person than he was a player, and he was a fantastic player. Hashtag Jaguars today. Travis, growing up a Cowboys fan, Randy White was my favorite. I wore number 54 in every sport growing up to pay homage. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Jag Junkie, Emmitt Smith, and boy, was he fun to watch. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Eric, we got, before the Jags came here, I followed the Dolphins, and Marino was my fave. Still is for quarterbacks. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Ryan, Brian Dawkins. Hashtag Jaguars today.
All right, I've got a bevy on the Facebook side. They're not as used to using the hashtag on the Facebook side because it's not really, although you can sort on Facebook by hashtags. I don't think it's
yes,
done as much. However, Thomas William Spratley said John Elway was a Bronco fan before the Jags came to town, and he even included a picture of himself as a youngster in his John Elway number 7. Pretty cool there. Let's see.
Is it the old orange?
It was the old orange.
Nice.
Absolutely, with those blue and white stripes around the sleeves. Let's see. John Duraskovich went with Keenan McCardell. Hashtag Jaguars today. David Staples going with Montana. Hashtag Jaguars today. David Phillips, yesterday's winner, by the way, said Walter Payton, the game I have the fondest memory of is when he rushed for 275 against the Vikings in 77. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag sweetness, best of all time, or best all time.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Scarola, who frequently participates, he's been angling for his T-shirt here, said growing up in New York has to be Lawrence Taylor. Saw him break Theismann's leg on TV. Hashtag Jaguars today. LT was one of your favorites.
LT was definitely one of my favorites.
Of all time. Chris in the running there. And then
I have two books about Lawrence Taylor at my house.
Do you?
I do.
Are they
I loved
on-field
Lawrence.
Or off-field?
They
exploits?
Were all on-field. I mean, you got some of the off-field
boring.
Stories. I heard about the cocaine. You know,
yeah, oh, it's in the book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff is in there.
Okay. Tim Chismar went with Chris Carter. Hashtag Jaguars today. Go Jags. And go Vikes. So he is a dual loyalist. What would happen if they met in the Super Bowl? What are you going to do, Tim? You've got to declare. Come on. And we got a bunch of other replies as well.
Defeats the definition of favorite. You have a favorite.
Yeah, I know. People, look, I've been over this over the years. I've mellowed on this somewhat, but I tend to agree there's only one favorite. Right, hence the word, right? It kind of is the definition of it. It's like use of the phrase most definitely. A definite indicates an absolute. There's no degree of definite.
No.
It is either definite or not. There's no one thing is more definite than another. If something is less definite, it is thereby not definite at all.
Correct.
Okay, so there is no most definitely. Rant over. And we will award somebody.
Each and every. Quarter in the
each
jar.
And every day we will award someone a Jaguars Today T-shirt from our friends at Hardball Creative. They did a great job putting those together for us. Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you daily by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, including Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush BMW. You can visit them all at TomBush.com. Get more information when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle, or maybe you just want to browse. Check out about some of these great deals. They always have fun events on the weekends out at their dealerships as well. They can stop by, test drive some of these models, and follow them on Twitter at TomBushMotors. All right, you got a chance to catch up with a guy that, who knows, maybe one day, Tony, based on this season,
yeah,
some young fan who previously didn't have a favorite player will say, you know what, that Denard Robinson in open space sure is fun to watch. Maybe he won't put it in those terms, but he'll know, man, that guy that makes everybody miss, that guy running all over the place with the football, catching it flawlessly out of the backfield.
Well,
that's
he certainly looks more comfortable than he did last year, and he was one of the stars of practice yesterday. Coach Bradley mentioned the double pass during practice, and I actually got to talk to both guys that were involved in that play. I'll let you know what Carey had to say about it here in just a moment, but here's Denard Robinson in the locker room.
All right, here with Denard Robinson, and you know, Coach has talked a lot here in the last couple weeks specifically about you and how much you've grown into this offense and into your role on this team. How do you feel like you're adjusting here in your second year compared to where you were this time last year?
I'm adjusting a little, I think, but you know, I can always get better, so I think I'm getting better. I just want to keep improving, you know, start working on the little things that I need to work on, and you know, just every day, just go out there and try to compete against myself.
Did you feel like your head was buzzing a little bit when you came in last year, especially making the transition not only from college to the NFL, but really from quarterback to running back in the NFL?
What's crazy, I was trading the whole time for receiver, and then I get here and they tell me I'm a fan running back, so when they draft me as a running back. So it's crazy, but you know, it's a great opportunity for me now. You know, just got to make the most of it, enjoy it, and compete, just have fun doing it. I mean, just going out there and enjoying the game of football.
And the ball's not hitting the ground a whole lot when it comes your way this year. I know that was an issue for you last year. It was just trying to learn how to catch the ball coming out of the backfield. You feel like you're getting much more comfortable in that part of the game?
Oh yeah. I think I am. But you know, never get too comfortable because you know you can easily go back down. So I think I want to still focus on that and still continue to get better on doing that.
And Coach Bradley mentioned the double pass during practice today. And I already talked to Kerry, who threw the thing, and it was a bit of a wobbler. What were you thinking when that ball came out?
Go get it. Don't let the defense catch it. So I thought the ball got tipped or something, so I ran back to it and tried to catch it and caught it. You know, but at least he got it there. A lot of people wouldn't be able to get it out of hand. So
it's pretty cool to be on an offense, too, that's willing to run those kind of plays. I mean, we've seen them during the second half of last season a lot, but even in practice, Coach Fish is willing to dial up some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it makes practice fun and get the receivers excited about throwing the ball and us catching the ball out the backfield and doing different things like that. So you get excited about doing stuff like that.
Would you rather be catching or throwing that pass?
No matter, man. Whenever they put me on, I'm with it.
You miss playing quarterback at all? Or
just know throwing the ball is like riding a bike, you know, so I never lose it.
All right, Denard, man. Before I let you go here, 10 seconds. And just let the people of Jacksonville know how much you love them, man. A little bit of love.
All right, man. Jacksonville, man. Stay united. I mean, we want y'all to be behind us 24/7, 365. So we need y'all to be with us when any team come to the stadium. So we need y'all to be loud, and we want to be one of the toughest crowds around here. So let's go. Let's go Jacksonville, and let's go Jags.
There you go. Denard Robinson.
It was funny. I caught up with Kerry Taylor, who threw the double pass in that thing yesterday, and it came out wobbling.
Yeah, and Blake Bortles was like, wow, that's a wobbly pass.
And I was kind of giving Kerry a hard time in the locker room. I was like, bro. He's like, was that you? Like, what happened? He was like, yeah, that was pretty bad. I was like, you need to apologize to Denard. I mean, that was a touchdown, man. And he was like, yeah, and he turned around. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. Like, he's talking to Denard. And Kerry wanted me to get this out there for him. He's like, I asked him, when's the last time you'd thrown a pass in practice or game, anything like that? He's like, man. Goes back to high school. He's like, but I want you to you make a note of this. In high school, I was 3 for 3 with 3 touchdowns. I want the people to know.
Noted.
Yes.
You would think, now who knows? I mean, look, again, the only reason we're talking about that play, which did happen in 11-on-11,
yeah.
is counselor, you open the door. Gus Bradley brought it up himself. He was asked about Denard Robinson, but he specifically mentioned the double pass play yesterday. But really, yesterday was fun practice, one of the most fun ones.
It was.
Because, again, for us layman media types, we like watching the ball in the air like everybody else.
And like guys making acrobatic plays.
You know what?
Did.
We got it yesterday in spades with those guys out there. So I'm hoping, Tony, maybe, I don't know, but maybe somebody returns to practice today out of that large contingent of receivers that's been taking it easy. Although with an off day tomorrow, maybe you're cautious. You hold them out another day, hopefully to get some of those guys back on Thursday and Friday. Can't wait to get reports on how Jamie McMurray and Joey Chitwood fared during their portion of practice today. That's about going to do it for us. Reminder, coming up this Thursday, it's the Jaguar Ticket Blitz all day long on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. So if you're on the fence, we're going to try to give you some convincing reasons why you should jump in to the pool, so to speak, with both feet and get your Jaguar tickets this year. And there'll be some special offers for 1010XL and 92.5 FM listeners. I have guests on, as we typically do every day, or we hope we try to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, most of the shows all throughout the day will have a variety of Jag players and coaches coming on, telling you about, giving you reasons, we hope, to be excited for the 2014 season. So we look forward to that coming up in just a couple of days. Tomorrow, Johnny O is in with us. Ryan O'Halloran scheduled to join us on Thursday. And then Fat Tony and I back with you on Friday here live at Everbank, as we are every day. Thanks again to Andre Branch. Again, Branch N Out 90. Branch, the letter N-O-U-T 90 is what he is on Twitter. Kerry Taylor is simply at Kerry Taylor, I believe. Kerry Taylor, what is it, 15? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Kerry Taylor 15.
At Kerry Taylor 15.
At Denard X.
At Denard X for Denard
Robinson.
At Dakota
Watson, that's D-E-K-O-D-A.
D-E-K-O-D-A.
Yeah.
So there you go. Follow all those folks. But Lauren Brooks is nearing a milestone on Twitter. Sometimes this backfires horribly when you request.
And let the record reflect that I have not asked
she
for
has not
any
requested anything. I'm speaking up unprompted on Lauren's behalf, as I like to. I love to speak for other people, Lauren. So
no.
I'm speaking for Lauren's Twitter feed, and if you're not following her, maybe in the future we'll make that a condition of prize winning on the program. But
we got rules.
Not yet. She will crack down on you if you don't use the hashtag, but give her a follow at 1010XL Lauren, of course, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at MD underscore 1010XL. Hell, follow the whole world. We don't care. We gave out about 16 people's Twitter addresses there. Follow us all or none of us. Follow at 1010XL, whatever you like to do. I'm really not going to twist your arm over it. That does it for us today. Thanks to everybody who stopped by. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks, for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Hacker and the Guru, David Lamb, coming up next. XL Primetime. We'll get you ready as we continue live here from Everbank Field. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.